Good morning. So good to see you all this morning. And I hope you're staying safe and warm. And so I always am grateful when we are streaming, whether it's with a gathering here plus streaming or this like we're doing today, that God has given us the tools to be able to do this. This is such a blessing. And so we're so excited to be with you this morning. I want to tell you a story as we get started. Back in October, at the end of the month, if you recall, we had an incredible trunk or treat out in this parking lot in the north end of the building. And Lauren and I hosted a trunk. We were the Christmas trunk, so we were supposedly supposed to be the last trunk in the line to kind of bridge the fall festival into the Christmas season. And one of the things that we had, and I brought some examples here today, was these little finger lights. And I've got a red one, and I've got a green one, and I've got a white one here. Now, we must have given out a million of these things. I'm serious. It was incredible. And the kids loved them, and a few big kids loved them as well. And so the way they're engineered is they've got this little rubber band around them, and then they've got a little lever that you push, and on comes the light. And for the rest of the evening, it was cool to see the kids walking around with the finger lights on their fingers. But you know, we had boxes and boxes of those in the back hatch of our Suburban, and probably one out of every 10 of them didn't work. Either the rubber band broke too easily, or when you flip the switch, the light never came on. And so we would take them, and we were trying to keep it moving because we had quite a backup at our trunk. And so we'd try and put it on the kid's finger, and if it didn't work, boom, we just threw it to the side. And we did that like probably many, many times during the night. And so as I reflected on that today, I thought about two things about these kind of stupid little ring lights there. One is you've got to have the fastener for them to work. They've got to hold tight. The second is you've got to have the light. That's the whole purpose of them, is that they have a light to shine the way. And so when they didn't work, when they were useless, when they were futile, we just took them and we discarded them because they were not up to the purpose that they were designed for. And the reason I thought about that today is because as we're about to break into our passage in our series called Living Hope, God's Provision Today and Forever, I saw verse 18 and 19 of chapter 1. Listen to what they say. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That word futile means devoid of force, devoid of truth, devoid of success. It means it's useless, of no purpose, vain and fruitless. And yet the word precious in that next verse means of great price, held in honor, esteemed, especially dear. And so I want to just tell you one last story about rings. We would chunk those rings to the side because they were futile. They were useless. They could not hold their purpose. However, recently, as you know, if you've heard me speaking, you know that we've experienced a little bit of loss in our family with my mom's passing. And with her passing, we were able to gather the remaining possessions that she had held on to and distribute them amongst us family members. And my prized possession that I got from that distribution is my dad's 1962 Dallas Theological Seminary class ring. And so just think about the contrast between those little rings, cheap as they are, and futile as they are, and the precious ring that this is. That is our salvation. That is what our living hope is all about. And so this morning, I just pray that as we get into the word in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13, that you will be able to grab on to and be encouraged by and comforted in living hope. Let me lead us in prayer as we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can gather together in the way that we are. What a blessing. And I pray, Father, that today in this little bit of time that we have together, as we go through your word, that we would exalt you, Lord Jesus, first and foremost, that you would be the star of the show, and also that by your Spirit, Lord, we would be able to see truth, that you would guide us into truth, that you would convict us of sin, and that you would equip us to be able to walk out this truth. And so this is about a living hope. It's not about dead hope. It's about living hope. And so I pray, Father, that today you will arrest our attention and guide our hearts and empower our steps to serve you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, either on your device or old school style, go ahead and open them to 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's start at verse 13. And we're going to read our passage for today, which is 1 Peter 1, verse 13, through the end of the chapter. And we'll tack on chapter 2, verse 1. Follow along on the screen with me as well if you don't have your device or your book nearby. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. What an amazing passage that is. And so today we're going to talk about hope in action. Last week we talked about why living hope in that introductory set of verses 1 through 12, where Peter takes and really sets up all of the core of the book. And today, he doesn't waste any time. He gets right to it and puts hope into action. And so that's what we're going to do these next few minutes together. And so there's really four actions that he gives us to put into play in this passage. First is action one, do your prep work, the first part of verse 13. Second, set your hope. Third, align your conduct. And fourth, love others. Do prep work, set your hope, align your conduct, and love others. And so without any other delay, let's just go ahead and get right into the passage. It says right off the bat, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. That's the prep work, but don't go past that word, therefore. Therefore is always an important word in Scripture. And we always kind of have this little phrase we use, what's the therefore? Therefore. And so we need to pause as we read it and understand that therefore is concluding and really bridging together what has come before with what is about to come. And so let's remember what therefore is all about. He's saying in light of this, and I don't know how many of you took the challenge last week, but remember the challenge that we have for this entire sermon series is to memorize 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And so take a look at this passage. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just look at all those incredible dimensions in that passage. First of all, it's a worship passage. It starts out with kind of this doxology, this benediction, this word of blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then according to his character, which in this case is great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to this living hope. How? Through Jesus Christ and through his resurrection from the dead. To what? An inheritance, and to this living hope. And it is being guarded and kept in heaven for you who have trusted Jesus by faith. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. And you know that these trials result in testing of your faith, which is that imperishable kind, that unfading kind, so that when he comes again, and this is a marvelous passage for salvation. It talks about God's work beforehand to save us, and then Jesus came and did the work. You never have to do the work. Jesus saves. And then we wait for his return again. And so this is a marvelous intro passage. And then Peter says in our passage, therefore. So in light of all of that glory and all of that blessing and all of that wonder, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Now this word prepare is to gird up. I love that word. It's kind of an old-fashioned word. In the ancient Oriental culture, the warriors would gird up their loins. They would take their robes and they would cinch them up and they would fasten them with some kind of a cord or a belt so that they could have maximum movement. It's sort of similar to, like, in this day and age, you see me unbuttoning my sleeves. It's kind of like rolling up your sleeves and getting ready for action. You know, when you see a guy do this and he rolls up his sleeves and maybe he gets ready, you're getting prepared. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, excuse me, prepare your minds for action and be sober-minded. And so Peter is imploring us to get ready, to be prepared, to gird up the loins of our minds by being sober-minded. And this word, sober-minded, this phrase, has to do with being calm and collected in spirit, being temperate, dispassionate. I love this old-fashioned word again, circumspect, careful, scrutinizing things. So prepare your minds for action, and you could almost say by being sober-minded. So you start by having this sober mind, being alert, being ready, being prepared, and then getting ready for the action. It reminds me of Romans 12, 2, which says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. By the renewal of your mind, in this case, it's a noun. It's kind of a renewal project. It reminds me of those shows, and you pick your favorite, Fixer Upper, Hometown, Property Brothers. You know the shows. You start with this house, and it's got its bare bones, and they don't discard the bare bones, but they take it and they improve it into something that is, as the word renewal means, a renovation or a complete change for the better. And so you prepare your mind, you're sober-minded. And I love in the verb form of this word renew, it shows up a couple of times in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Listen to Colossians 3:10, have put on a new self which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Did you know that that verb is a passive tense verb? That means God is doing the work ultimately of renewing you. We're saved on no merit of our own. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, it's not because of nothing we've done. And as we grow in Christ, it's because of what He does in our lives, not because of what we do. So as we submit to the Lord, we gird up our minds, we prepare for action, and we're sober-minded. We don't let the world conform us to its mold, like Romans 12:2 says, but we allow the Spirit to renew our minds. And then the next thing he says, action number two, set your hope. Look what the second half of verse 13 says. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope partially. Set your hope almost all the way. Set your hope 99% of the way. No, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Setting your hope fully means to set your hope perfectly and completely and bring something to its end or its finish point. So when you set your hope, when I set my hope on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's not a partial, it's not an almost all the way thing. It's all of us, all of our life, all of our hope is set on the grace to be revealed at the coming of Jesus. And I love the idea that the Christian life is kind of an already but not yet existence. We have already been saved. We are already in the process of being made more like Jesus. We are already guaranteed our final glory with Him when we are with Him face to face. But we have not experienced all of that yet. And so the Christian life is for sure an already accomplished but not yet fully realized existence. So until He comes back, set your hope. That's action step number two. Fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I don't know any better way to do this than to just meditate on the hope, meditate on the gospel, meditate on the return of Jesus Christ. Be in the Word so that you can bathe your mind and your heart with the truth of His Word. And that, in doing that and in having fellowship with others, engaging the Bible, pursuing Christ-centered relationships, and sharing the good news of Jesus with yourself and with others, preaching the gospel to yourself, in those ways you can set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But Peter's just getting started. Let's get on to verse 14 for action step number three. And verses 14 through 21 contain it. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So, as the sermon title implies, hope is in action. It's a living hope. I love what the team has done with the letters here. They've raised them up and really made them prominent with the lights. This is in our face, this entire sermon series. This is a living hope. This is hope in action, as a reminder that this is not a passive existence. It is an adventure, girding up our minds, getting prepared until the return of Jesus Christ. And so as obedient children, we're not to be squeezed into the mold of our former ignorance. I love the word former here. It's not, we've softened the word. Okay, that's the former times. You know what the real meaning of the word former here is? Prior or before. So a lot of what Peter is doing in this letter is reminding us of our identity in Christ. And he says, you're not that person anymore. You're 100% new in Christ. And so you might be able to replace that word that says, don't be conformed to the passions of your before existence ignorance, before spiritual existence ignorance, or your prior existence. Now in Christ, we are new creatures. And so we are to walk according to our identity. And then he goes on to say, so therefore, as He who called you is holy, you be holy, for I am holy. He's quoting there from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, the Old Testament law. This week, Lauren and I got an email from one of our oldest friends. We came up through student ministry together as teenage kids back in Dallas. And she is one of the loveliest people we both know, one of our oldest friends. And it was an encouragement to get the email from her, because she wrote about what I thank the Lord for at the outset of this sermon, that because of God's blessing here at FBC, we're able to broadcast these sermons all around the world, literally. And so she's in the DFW area, but she's been able to tune in to our sermons. And she told us of the fact that she had experienced a significant injury and is on disability status now. And so she's more confined than ever at this time. And she said, the Word of God and the preaching that you all are doing, which is from the Word, is so encouraging. And she reminded us of a friend that we all share in common as well, another long-term friend who has stayed in close touch with her. And so look at what she's doing. She's engaging the Bible. She's pursuing Christ-centered relationships. And in so doing, she is preaching the gospel to herself over and over again. And we were so encouraged by her contact. And so that's how it works, folks. It's nothing special. It's nothing clever. It's just engaging the Bible, pursuing Christ-centered relationships, sharing the good news of Jesus. And I can't stress enough that oftentimes this is preaching the gospel, the good news to yourself. He saved me. It wasn't because of anything I've done. So even in my circumstance now, I'm relying on Him 100%. And my hope is set on His return. And so, what an encouragement. Peter goes on to say in these verses, in verse 17, and if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Again, this unfading, imperishable inheritance that we have, our salvation will never go away. It will never fade. We are eternally secure in Christ. And so we're called to align our conduct. And it says, during this time on this earth, conduct yourselves, in verse 17, with fear throughout the time of your exile. Fearing the Lord, revering Him, recognizing that He is all-powerful, living your life with humility before Him, fearing the Lord, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways that you inherited from your forefathers. Now, I love that verse 18, you were ransomed, or your version might say redeemed. Back in the ancient Near Eastern time when this passage was written, there was something called sacral manumission of slaves. So this was one form of what's called manumission of slaves, which is the release or the freeing of a slave in that culture. Sacral manumission was thought to be that a god, and this was in a pagan sense, a god had actually put up the ransom pay to free the slave. And so when the slave is freed, he or she comes out of bondage, walks in freedom, owing all that he or she has to God. And that's a great picture of what is being shown us here. We were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers unto God, by God, unto God. And we live our lives for Him. And so aligning our conduct is really the natural outflow of what He's done for us and what our identity is in Him. And finally, verses 20 and 21, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Just another sort of exclamation point of saying, where is your hope? Where is your living hope? Where is hope in action? It is in God, who is the Savior of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and we wait for His return. And so that is why we align our conduct. That is the means by which we align our conduct into Christ-like living. And then finally, the last action step we see beginning in verse 22 is love others. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. I love that. The scripture is replete with examples of one another's, how we love one another. Sometimes we love one another by admonishing one another. Sometimes we love one another by exhorting one another. Sometimes we love one another by serving one another. Now, these are all different words than love, but the umbrella concept, the umbrella idea of all of these things is to love one another. It says in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. And that's what verse 23 reminds us, since you've been born again. Remember the introduction to this letter. He's caused us to be born again. All that we have, all that we are, all that we do in life is in tribute to and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. And I love this. The word doesn't ever perish, it says in verse 24. It's not like grass and not like flowers that wither and fall. The word of the Lord remains forever. And look at what it says at the end of verse 25. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. You know, as I got into this passage this week, I didn't realize what an incredible passage this is for FBC's mission statement. Engaging the Bible, pursuing Christ-centered relationships, and sharing the good news of Jesus. But you see all these things in this passage, the Word of God right here, the good news, and the loving one another, the relationship side of things. What an incredible summary of what we are to be all about. And look at what it says as we close toward our next steps. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. We're a church family that shares the good news of Jesus. And I want to share the good news with you right now. Jesus Christ came to us. We didn't have to come to him. It starts right there. Because nothing we can do or would have been able to try to do would have ever gotten us to God. Nothing. But God demonstrated his love for us, it says in Romans 5:8, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the way he could do that is to come to us and to be the God-man, Jesus Christ, among us. But he didn't stay in the grave. He was raised again. And he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he is this same Jesus that this book is talking about, of whom we are waiting for his return. And so today, I want to implore you, if you have not trusted Jesus Christ alone as your living hope, to give you living hope, I make my appeal to you as an ambassador of the gospel, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. Turn to the Lord and trust Jesus alone to save you. Not your work, not your effort, nothing but Jesus and his shed blood on your behalf for your sins. And so, as we come to the very last verse in our love others section, chapter 2, verse 1, he gives us some real practical marching orders. So put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. So as we contemplate these things and as we turn toward our next steps, I want to encourage you to take out your connection card. And on this day, we've got several ways for you to be able to engage with our connection card. This is really cool stuff. If you hold your phone up to the screen right now on this QR code, you will go straight to our connection card. If you have a smartphone with a scanner. You also, in a few moments, if you've subscribed to our text service, will be getting a text with a link to the connection card. And on our website where you're watching right now, or on Facebook where you're watching, in the website, it's on the watch page or the connection card page under fbctulsa.org, and you can find the connection card there. And on the Facebook stream, you'll see it in the comments, a link. So we've got you covered no matter where you are and what you're doing today. But grab that connection card or fire it up either now or after the service is concluded. And go ahead and commit to these things. I've included a picture of the connection card here. And so the first thing is, I will trust God with these actions. The next is, I will identify specific micro actions to take. And finally, I will share the good news of Jesus with myself and others. And if you've heard the gospel appeal that I've made to you today, and you want to trust Jesus as your Savior, and you want to reach out and talk to one of us about that, there is no greater joy we have than to be able to connect with you on that ground. And so do me a favor, down below those three next steps, you see a section that says comments and questions. I've circled it for you on your screen here. And in that section, put three things in there for us. Put your name, put your contact information if you haven't already put it at the top of the card, and just simply write, I want to trust Jesus. If you'll do that, we would be delighted to give you a call and arrange a time to talk with you, even meet with you, and we'll celebrate with you. There's no greater joy we would have than for that to be the case. And so as we conclude, let me just challenge us with those next steps. First, I will trust God with these actions. What are the actions? Let's remind ourselves. Do prep work. Set your hope. Align your conduct and love others. And to elaborate a little more, do prep work, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Set your hope, which is fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Align your conduct, be holy, and conduct yourselves with the fear of God. And finally, love others, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, and put away all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. But as you look at these, I want to challenge us all to take some, to evaluate and figure out what our micro steps are. I'll identify specific micro actions to take. So doing prep work, girding up your mind, preparing your minds, being sober-minded. Ask yourself, maybe this is a micro step, where am I allowing the world and its influence to squeeze me into its mold today? And where do I need to then flee from that? Maybe that's your first step of identification, your first micro action, or maybe the next action, set your hope fully on the grace that is to come. What about that? I've already talked about meditating on the return of Jesus, meditating on the actual gospel message itself. I want to encourage you to maybe set time aside to take that micro step of setting intentional time in your day, each day, to meditate on those things. Maybe the next step in micro steps is align your conduct. Listen to what Romans 13:11-14 says. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It's a very clear passage. Put off the old, put on the new. And it says, make no provision. You know, this phrase, make no provision, has to do with an intentional planning step. And it's a forethought word. So the word provision has to do with forethought or planning. So what this passage is saying is make no advance plans to fall into sin, but make plans to flee sin. So maybe your action step is, here's where I trip up all the time. Scripture says to pluck out your eye if your eye offends you for a reason. Perhaps you need to throw away that which is tempting you. Perhaps you need to bring in somebody to be able to walk alongside you in that area of temptation. But these are all micro steps. So I encourage you to just, more than just saying, yeah, preacher, I'll do that, identify some micro actions to take, and then ask the Lord to give you the strength to do it. And finally, I'll share the good news with myself and others. Will you preach the gospel to yourself this week? Will you encourage your own heart with the glorious message of the gospel? Will you share it with others in the body of Christ, fellow Christians? And perhaps most importantly of all, will you share it with those who have not trusted Jesus as their Savior? Share the good news this week with yourself and others. Folks, I love you. What a glorious passage this is. Be action-oriented people this week. Take these four action steps, and I encourage you to just bask and be encouraged in the glow of living hope. God will provide for you today, and God has made provision for you forever. God bless you. Have a great day.